Tomaselli, host of In Between the Music, and enjoy trivia and music together. For dates and times, visit WGTD.org.
This is WGTD-HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. You're listening to Community Matters, a program that focuses on the concerns in the Tri-County area. It's hosted by Jane Herring, Marcia Connett, Joan Rory, and Ron Purty. Community Matters also shares its time slot with the 32-time award-winning WGTD Radio Theater. And now, here's today's host.
Hello and welcome to Community Matters. I'm Jane Herring. And today we're going to be addressing the district attorney race in Kenosha. We'll be talking with Carly McNeil, who is one of the candidates. She is representing the Democratic Party. The Republican Party is being represented by Xavier Solis. And let me read you a statement because we only have Carly with us today. I had invited Mr. Solis with a note which explained that I was the Community Matters program host and about the interview, hoping to schedule you for the program to air August 17th, and just talked a little bit more about potential times. I received this response, just so you know. Thank you, and I appreciate the invitation. However, respectfully, I don't participate in state-sponsored media forums that are meant to sway the public's vote. So just so you realize, we did reach out to him, and that was his comment back. I'll admit I was a little bit taken aback because I'm old school, not only old, but old school, and it was hammered into me when I got my broadcast journalism degree that we always try to present both sides. So I feel a little bit uncomfortable about that today, but just so you understand the reason why he is not with us today. But we do have Carly McNeil, and welcome to the program today.
Hello, I really appreciate you inviting me.
So what I'm hoping to do is find out a little bit about your background, a little bit about what the job of a district attorney really is when it's not on television, and kind of go from there. So first of all, you are the deputy district attorney right now, and you're hoping to become the district attorney with Mr. Gravely retiring, correct?
Yes, that's right. So the deputy district attorney is the person who is second in charge of the DA's office, and Kenosha County has one deputy district attorney, and that is me.
So let's say nobody watched TV and had no idea what a district attorney does. Why don't we start with the 30,000-foot viewpoint of it, and then we'll work down.
Yeah, so our job is to prosecute criminal cases, and we cover the whole county. So it's the Kenosha County District Attorney's Office. Anywhere in the county, if there is a crime that is committed, the local police will investigate that crime. And then after they've gathered the evidence, if they believe that there are charges that are appropriate, they refer it to the District Attorney's Office, and we take it from there. So we make the charging decision, and then we actually go to court and prosecute the person criminally who has been charged with the crime. And so it's any criminal case in Kenosha County we have responsibility for prosecuting.
And that's a word I think most of us know, prosecute, but why don't you even explain that part of it?
So this is when a person is charged with a crime. So again, we make that decision whether mm-hmm. based upon the evidence we believe we can prove to a jury. That's when you get your jury duty summons. We believe we can prove to a jury that a person has committed a crime. And that person is afforded all of the rights under the Constitution. And we, while respecting those rights, we go to court and we attempt to prove when it finally comes time for trial that the person has committed all of the charged crimes based upon the evidence. So we're the type of lawyers that you see in court, in trials, arguing in front of juries.
So as we look at the hierarchy within the district attorney's office, we have the district attorney, we have the deputy district attorney, and then we have assistant district attorneys. What do y'all do?
So, in our office, we have a total of 20 attorneys. That's including the district attorney. And then we have over 20 different support staff as well. So the entire office is approximately 40 people. And criminal justice is a pretty high volume system. So we get thousands of cases that are sent to us a year from the police and after being reported and investigated. And so the primary job of all of our assistant district attorneys is to take on the vast majority of those prosecutions. And again, it's taking it from the beginning. Here is the police referral with all the police reports, and then making that charging decision, and then handling the case in court from beginning to end. And so the assistant district attorneys carry a big caseload. So we're talking maybe 300 cases for each of those assistant district attorneys per year.
Wow.
If you're just doing the math. And then we have some specialists in our office as well. We've allocated additional resources, particularly to gun violence that occurs when people are firing shots in the city or somewhere in our jurisdiction. And then we've allocated additional resources to individuals who are committing sexual assaults. So extremely serious crimes, we have put those additional resources towards. And then myself and the district attorney, we also take on the most difficult cases. So the serious cases like first-degree intentional homicides or other serious crimes that can include things like sexual assaults or attempted homicides. That's the kind of caseload that myself and the DA have.
So as you're moving, if you are elected, moving from a deputy district attorney to the district attorney position, how will your workload or responsibilities change if that happens?
So I really feel like since I became the deputy district attorney, I've been in training to be the district attorney because I see what the DA does every day, and I closely assist his work as well as having my own cases. But they're very similar to what the DA takes on because in Kenosha, unfortunately, we don't have a shortage of serious cases. So I think the nature of my job won't change a lot. The main difference would be is that I would be the person who's in charge. I've already asked a person in my office to step up and be the deputy district attorney if I become the district attorney, because we have a wealth of experienced prosecutors. And, you know, I want to make sure that whoever were to take over as deputy district attorney can do that very serious work and basically be of assistance in every way with the kind of larger decisions that our office makes.
One of the things that has, I guess, puzzled me a little bit, I know it's just the way it is, but there are certain offices that are bipartisan and others not. And why do you think that this is a partisan office?
Yeah, so if I made the rules, it wouldn't be. I think a lot of people feel that way.
Yeah.
Because ultimately it's a professional position. So when I'm trying to explain it to people, the whole partisanship issue, you know, I tell them that, yes, the election is partisan. And again, I don't make the rules. But the position, the actual job is nonpartisan. And I say it's kind of like, you know, it's kind of like someone who's a surgeon. You know, you would never, if you are going into surgery or someone you love is, you would never ask that person, are you a Democrat or are you a Republican? I hope you wouldn't anyway. And so what you care about is their experience. Can they do the job? You know, you kind of hope you don't get the surgeon on their first day, right? You want someone who you know and you trust because, you know, in that situation, your life is in their hands. And as prosecutors, you know, we're certainly not the same as doctors, but we do have people's lives in our hands in a different way. The decisions that we make affect people's lives dramatically. When we prosecute someone for the most serious crimes, you know, they're facing life in prison. And of course, you know, in those type of crimes, a lot of times we're working with victims who have lost a loved one, and they're seeking justice for that. And so they don't get to pick their prosecutor. The only time they can pick is when they vote for district attorney. And so that's why I emphasize to people, you know, look at it as you would choosing any other professional, important person in your life, like a doctor or a surgeon, and make your choice based upon that.
And that does make really good sense. One of the things, though, is that is there some kind of emotion, or how do you put yourself into this on a case? Is it purely emotion? Is it purely law background? What goes into it? Why you?
So for me, you know, going to law school, there was a lot of lawyer jobs that I discovered I did not want to do. And I look at this work as my calling, because for district attorney, when you're a prosecutor, any kind of prosecutor, the mission is, I think, to do the right thing, ultimately. And so you're not just working for whoever walked in your door or whoever's writing the paycheck that day, which is the life many attorneys have to lead. And, you know, many attorneys do excellent at that. But for me, that just didn't fit what I was looking for and what I wanted. And so I really found that in the DA's office, because we have to make really tough decisions.
Yeah.
And we do take it personally in terms of being very personally invested in our jobs. But, you know, at the end of the day, I always feel like I've made the right decision if I have asked myself, you know, did I do the right thing today? Even if it was hard, even if in the short term it was very difficult, usually in the long term it's going to lead you down the right path.
You often hear, and I'm not saying your opponent says this, but I think in any election, people are saying, whether it's for DA or you name it, judge it, I'm going to be tough on crime. Well, yeah. Do you feel that there is any wiggle room as you're working with police on the charges to be tough on crime?
Well, you know, actually, that is something that my opponent says, which I find interesting, because, you know, he's been a defense attorney in our community. And again, defense attorneys play an extremely important role in the criminal justice system. So there's nothing wrong with that. But to have spent your life as a defense attorney and then run for office as DA saying you're being tough on crime, there's just no substance there. You know, there's been many, many openings in DA's offices across the state of Wisconsin, in Walworth, in Racine, and certainly in Kenosha. If at any point in his career he wanted to be tough on crime, he wanted to fight for victims, he wanted to work with the police, he could have taken one of those jobs. And that's exactly what I have decided to do. So for me, as a prosecutor, what you do is you evaluate your case at the beginning. And you decide, can I prove this case based upon the evidence I have? And that's why prosecutors are so hard charging, because you've decided before charging, I can prove this case. I can prove that this person committed this crime, and I can fight for this victim and get justice for them. So, you know, for us, we've made that decision, and we don't want to undo that or dismiss a case unless something has changed in the evidence, right? You don't want to go back and forth. So, you know, for us, when you see us in court and fighting for our cases, that's why. It's because we've already made the decision. And so, you know, again, we tend to take it really personally, because we're investing ourselves into these cases. We're working really hard to try to prove it. And, you know, again, there's someone whose life is in our hands. There's a victim who can't get justice unless we go in the courtroom and fight for them. And so, you know, that's my perspective of tough on crime. And also being respectful of the police and the hours and the effort that they have put into these cases. You know, I feel like I have a great relationship with so many of our law enforcement here in Kenosha County, because I've worked with them for years. And they know me, and they know that I'm going to go to bat for them. And sometimes that means that you're not going to win every case. And I'm okay with that. Because to me, you know, you have to be willing to take on the tough cases. And that's ultimately what law enforcement respects. You know, there's nothing more frustrating to a law enforcement officer than they put their heart and soul into their case. But, you know, the prosecutor, you know, doesn't want to do the same and to take, you know, maybe a risk to lose a case or something like that. And again, that's why the police respect me.
Talk about the risk factor. It's an interesting way of characterizing it. To move ahead with a case where you know you've got a 50-50 chance, what's that spark of doubt, maybe, of being able to take it to the end?
Yeah, you know, it's hard to put a percentage on it.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you've been a prosecutor, you know, it doesn't take that long before you know I have a slam dunk case, you know, or I don't. Or, you know, there's a case with some holes in it. And one of the things that we pride ourselves on is taking a case and trying to make it better. So if anyone's ever heard of the vertical prosecution model, that is where a prosecutor sticks on their case. So it's not bouncing from one prosecutor to another to another. Mm. You got your caseload. It's your case. It stays your case. And I can tell you that the judges in Kenosha County have been excellent in terms of allowing us to vertically prosecute cases because that leads to higher quality results. When it's your case, when you're taking ownership of it, it's your problem, all of the, you know, what you would call holes in the case, it's your job to fix as much as you can before you stand in front of that jury. It just leads you to working on the case and making it better. And so, you know, for me, you know, there's not many cases that actually go to trial where it's a slam dunk and there's no holes in it. But if you're really doing your job and you're fighting, you know, there's certainly situations where you'll take a case to trial and think, you know, I do think I can prove it, but, you know, there's some difficulties here. Or it really depends on the victim. You know, I hope the victim does, you know, a great job testifying like they did when they talked to me, you know, in the office and things like that. And sometimes that goes sideways. But, you know, there's so many cases I can point to where, you know, if I wasn't willing to, you know, quote unquote, lose this trial, I wouldn't have won this other trial because I wouldn't have taken it. I would have been afraid to take it to court. Mm-hmm. And so to me, you know, that's how I look at those cases. You know, you can't and you shouldn't as a prosecutor take a case to trial if you don't think you can prove it. But that doesn't mean every trial you have is 100% slam dunk.
I'm curious, you mentioned a relationship with law enforcement. Do you cross-train so people, so the officers have a better understanding of what you need to be successful?
Yeah, so actually one of the things that we do is that we ask when we have a case that goes to trial, we ask the main detective on the case to sit with us. And that's, I think, beneficial both ways because they can help us. You know, they know the details of the case. They worked it from the beginning. And there might be something happening in trial where they remember something and they're like, you need to ask this question or you need to, you know, call this witness. So that's super helpful to us. And then I think it's also very helpful to the detective to see how a trial looks and to see, you know, how a defense attorney will defend a case. And then when they're investigating something similar in the future, they have that in mind. Oh, I remember how my other case was attacked. I'm going to shore that up this time around. And, you know, again, in Kenosha County, I think the relationship our office has with law enforcement is excellent. You know, we try to be extremely responsive, talk to them. You know, we give legal advice, right? We have an on-call prosecutor at all times when they're facing a difficult situation. You know, it could be the middle of the night. They should call us, right? Because we give that criminal law legal advice. And so, you know, that's definitely the relationship that I have fostered over the years with law enforcement because it leads to at least a better quality cases, better quality prosecution in our community.
Tell me about that on call. That, you know, perked my attention, but what would an officer do? They just arrested somebody or they're about to arrest somebody? At what point in that process might they call your office?
It can be any situation. So it could be, you know, we have a suspect in a house. Can we go in? You know, what is the law on that? Can we enter the house if these are the facts? And, you know, law enforcement's asked to wear a bunch of hats. And
yeah, sure.
One of those is interpreting the law sometimes. And, you know, a lot of them, you know, are excellent and, you know, don't even need to call us because they have it down pat, you know, when they can go into a house, when they can pull over a car, when they can arrest someone. But, you know, there's challenging situations that are always confronted. So it can be in any aspect of what the officers are doing, a legal question might arise that they might want to ask us about. And we've also had for years, law enforcement has contacted the DA's office right away when there is a homicide or what looks like maybe it could be a homicide. Because, you know, they've learned and we've learned, again, the work is better when we are involved in it and we're familiar with it and we're with them every step of the way. So I think, you know, both of us have found great benefits to that, both law enforcement and certainly us in the DA's office.
Would you, somebody from your office actually go out to the murder scene? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, we absolutely have done that. Every night when I go to bed, I turn my ringer up. I don't turn it down because I know that there might be a call that night. And so I have gone to quite a few crime scenes at this point. Of course, again, it's after law enforcement has made it safe, but it just gives you a head start on the case, you know, and that's what I mean by vertical prosecution. For those kind of cases, the most serious cases, you're the person who went to the crime scene and you saw it. And it makes it just so much easier to do, you know, sometimes we have to do rush warrants. You know, we'll have a suspect who fled the state. Mm-hmm. We need a warrant. Well, we can do that way faster when we've been with law enforcement from the beginning on the case. We already have it in our heads. We're able to put together those complaints way faster. And when it becomes time for trial, we remember, you know, walking in the door of that house or walking down the street and seeing what we saw. In the end, it's ultimately just about the quality of our prosecutions.
Before we totally leave the vertical prosecution model, you mentioned that the judges have been super supportive of that. And my reaction would be, well, what would be the downside? Why wouldn't they be supportive? Does it take perhaps more time to move through the cases, or...
Yeah, there's always give and take, and I think for judges it's scheduling, because we have 8 judges here in Kenosha County, and 4 of them do criminal full-time. That is their caseload. So that's a lot of judge time being devoted to our criminal cases. And so the way it works is we have a 3-week rotation, and so when a prosecutor's in court on their case, and that case is being set for trial, what we need the judges to help us with is to set it for trial when that prosecutor is back in court. So for scheduling, it's once every 3 weeks that are the options for scheduling a case like that. And again, that's tough in a high volume system, you know. But I think the judges have seen over the years, hey, it's just better to have a prosecutor who's familiar with the case. They know the facts. They've been with it from the beginning. They're the person, you know, when they set a case for trial, they're the person who's going to stand in front of the jury one day and argue that case. So we've been very grateful to our judges that they've seen it, right? Because it's easy for a judge to think, hey, you know, this is being set too far out, or why can't it be this other week? Well, there's a bigger picture there that, again, I think our judges have been excellent in seeing the results of it.
It must be really fun scheduling that stuff. Yikes! I'm going to take a quick break from our discussion here and bring more information about Mr. Solis based on his website, since, again, for those just tuning in, we had invited him to join us today in talking about the upcoming district attorney election that will be on November 5th, now that we're past the primary. And there was one candidate on the Democratic side and one candidate on the Republican side. So, of course, they're facing each other November 5th. Mr. Solis said, thank you. Appreciate the invitation. However, respectfully, I don't participate in state-sponsored media forums that are meant to sway the public's vote. From his website, I will read a couple of things. Like I say, I'm trying to be balanced as much as I can be today. There are 3 areas that he cites: public safety and crime reduction. He says he's committed to improving public safety and reducing crime in Kenosha County. Violent offenders will be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. I will collaborate with law enforcement agencies to ensure effective crime prevention strategies. And that's something that we've been talking about in the last number of minutes. Another area is support for victims of crime. His goal is to ensure justice for all and to support victims of crime with the resources they need. I will emphasize a victim-centered approach that prioritizes the needs and rights of those affected by crime. And thirdly, extensive legal experience. I stand for conservative values that prioritize law and order, individual freedoms, and accountability. I am proud to have earned the trust and respect of my peers and community leaders, and I will continue to uphold these principles as your district attorney. So those are our comments that are taken directly from Xavier Solis's website. His political candidate website, not his law practice website. So we are talking with Carly McNeil, who is the Democratic candidate for Kenosha District Attorney. And again, thank you for joining us today on WGTD. You know, we had started talking a little bit about your background. We kind of got into it incidentally, and you mentioned you went to college, no kidding, but we didn't talk about where. And maybe you can give us the old resume thing. I believe you're a lifelong Kenoshan.
Yes, so I was born and raised in Kenosha County, so I went to Bristol Grade School and Central High School, and I still have family in Kenosha County as well. And so after I got done with Central High School, I played hockey growing up.
Oh, cool.
And I wanted to play in college. And if you know anything about the University of Wisconsin women's teams, they're winning national championships. And I wasn't quite that good, so I wanted to go somewhere where I could play. So I went to Union College in Schenectady, New York.
Oh, wow.
And so I was still able to play Division I hockey, but on a team that was where I could actually get on the ice. So I had a great time there. My 4 years there, and once I graduated, I went to law school at Notre Dame, and then as soon as I was done with law school, I came back home. So I've lived in Kenosha County my entire life, other than when I was away at school.
What made you decide to come back home?
So really, I was looking for a job, and I wasn't exactly sure where I was going to land, and I had to take the bar exam and all that stuff. So I studied for the bar over the summer. I took it, and I passed it, and then I just decided to start showing up at the DA's office. I had been interested in criminal law throughout law school, and so I thought, you know, hey, you know, people want experience when they're looking to hire people. The DA's office is right there. Might as well. I'm a real lawyer now. I might as well show up. Get experience. And I was lucky enough that the DA's office had an opening within, you know, a few months after I started working there. And so I was able to get hired on, and haven't left since.
And how many years ago was that?
So that was 2010 when I graduated law school. I started showing up at the DA's office in 2010 and got hired in 2011.
So you have been there a while. So you were one of those assistant DAs you mentioned with the incredible workload. What was that like?
So the thing about the DA's office, you kind of have to mentally adjust to the fact that your work is literally never done. You know, sometimes I think, what if I had a shift job or something where I, you know, at least could
put
feel
it away.
That my work was done at the end of the day. Or, you know, there's no summer break for us. And so you have to get used to the idea of there's always something you can do to work on your cases. There's literally always something. There's a new case that you're getting assigned today. You know, even if you were theoretically caught up with everything, which isn't possible, well, you're getting a new case today. And so you have to learn to be efficient. You have to prioritize. You have to be organized. And you have to, you know, do the tasks that are most important in your day, because otherwise you're going to fall behind and you can't ever catch up again.
And that's pretty maddening. I kind of know that to a certain degree from my past work days where you're never done. But you've got a lot of people, their entire life depends on how much attention you pay. And how do you do that, knowing that kind of, I guess, pressure?
Yeah, I mean, that is difficult, you know. So you work as hard as you can. You know, we have an expectation when our attorneys have trials that they're going to work over the weekend. We don't get overtime, so it's not, you know, get paid extra to do that. We are paid what we are paid. And so when our attorneys are working evenings, coming in early, working over the weekends, as we expect them to do to be ready, it's really for the love of the work and the love of the job. And, you know, I prosecuted a major case in terms of the Mark Jensen retrial, which was huge. You know, we had boxes and boxes of material. And so it was very daunting. A case like that was extremely daunting to get and work on, because, you know, there's a time limit. That trial date is coming. And especially during that time period as the deputy DA, I was covering a lot of court. So I would think sometimes during trial, you know, people are seeing me, this is a big case, you know, this is live stream, things like that. And I would think to myself, you know, of the hundreds of cases that I had appeared on from the moment I was assigned that case to the moment it was going to trial. You know, it kind of seems in the moment, people watching, like, this is your only case. But there had been so many days and so many times where I wanted to work on that case, but I had to work on other things. And again, that balance and figuring out how to pull it off and how to do it, that's absolutely critical to being successful.
And the Jensen case had national coverage. That's got to be a stress in and of itself. I mean, Kenosha's had a few really big nationally covered cases in the last 5 years.
Yeah, we have. And, you know, you kind of never think it's going to be your case. You know, a lot of people are fans of the true crime podcasts and TV shows and things like that. But even as a prosecutor, you don't think that's going to be you one day. And that is how it happened, you know, for me working on that case. But really, you know, you're always grounded in the fact, like, it is the work you do. You know, it's no different from the homicide case you had a few months back or anything like that. You know, the people are still depending on you, the law enforcement who investigated the case, the families of the victim. It's all the same whether anyone's paying attention to it or not. And so that keeps you grounded, I think, in your work and, you know, just not being distracted by things like, you know, you were on TV today.
Yeah. And I think sometimes DAs are portrayed in fiction as being very political animals and wanting that kind of attention. Talk about that.
Well, I certainly don't feel that way about myself. So anyone who knows me is probably pretty clear on that. I am by no means a politician, but I love my job. And so that's where I have found myself in the situation I'm in where I'm running for office. You know, for me, I'm running for an office that isn't political. So that makes me very comfortable because I'm doing that. And I'm also running to continue to do the work that I love in an office where I think we have worked really hard to build a great group of prosecutors, a really great group of paralegals and victim witness and people who help us in our jobs. They're the unsung heroes of our work. They're definitely the people who prefer to work in the background, but we can't do it without them. And so I think of all that we've built over 13 years, and I think, hey, it's worth it to me to run to try to be DA because I want to keep that going, and I want to keep doing the work that I love. But for me, again, there is no politics to this. It's just about professionalism and who can do the job competently.
It is interesting because, again, on these television programs, they make it sound like you get a call from the mayor or the county exec or a governor saying, you got to do this. I mean, is that even realistic, or does it happen? And if so, how would you deal with that?
Well, you know, I think it's something where, you know, kind of feels like the old days because, yeah. You know, that's not something I've experienced. And if it were, you know, if there was kind of a little nudge or something like that, you know, I would feel like, you know, I'm not doing my job if I'm not treating everybody fairly. It doesn't matter who they are, and making decisions based upon the facts and based upon the law, not based upon who somebody is. And, you know, that's one reason that, you know, we and other DA's offices, we get special prosecutors on cases where there might be a conflict. You know, there's obvious conflicts sometimes, like it's, you know, it's the child of someone who works in your office, another attorney or something like that. And sometimes there's political related conflicts. Hey, this person, you know, maybe has a say in our budget or something like that.
Yeah.
And so for us, it's way more about the appearance of conflict. Not that we think there's going to be some, you know, secretive phone call or something like that, but we need the public to have confidence that the decisions that are being made in the criminal justice system are being made, you know, the whole image of Lady Justice being blind, right? That's what we need to have public confidence and faith in. And Kenosha's gone through that. You know, there's now a state statute that requires if there's an officer-involved death, that they be investigated, that be investigated by a different lead agency. And, you know, it's not because like a horrible job was done in the past, it's because public confidence demanded it. And so that's the same reason why, you know, when we feel like there might be a question in the public's mind about decisions being made in a case because of conflict, you know, that's why we bring in a special prosecutor. It's also about ethics, right? Not handling cases where there's a conflict of interest. And so, you know, for us, it is extremely important that the public believe that justice is fair for everybody, no matter what their background or connections.
And I can see having that option would actually make all of you feel better, because you don't have that pressure of working so hard on something and trying to be 100% fair, and then having that bombardment of questions. And I can see where it would make your job, I don't want to say easier, because it's never easy, but a little bit more comfortable.
Yeah, it's extremely important to the big picture of what we do. And again, having the public understand that you're going to get a fair result and a fair process, and, you know, equal justice across the board.
So as you're looking at a caseload in the next 6 months, let's say, is there anything that's going to be unusual? I'm not asking for a specific case, obviously, but do you see that is caseload getting larger and larger? I mean, we've been hearing more murders. We've been, you know, things are happening. Does the caseload grow? Are you seeing that in your horizon?
You know, it certainly can. You know, we have seen in various recent years an increase in felony filings, and that's something that the court system is very aware of, because we have to allocate resources appropriately. So it's usually never a straight line. You know, there's years where it goes higher, years where it's lower, and so we try to pay attention to particular categories of crimes that we're concerned about. Obviously, everyone's knowledgeable and concerned about the murder rate and things like that. And, you know, we have followed national patterns. So 2021 was a terrible year nationally. It was a bad year here. And then it's gone down since, you know, across the country, and then also here. And so, you know, there's some crimes, though, that we're deeply concerned about right now. We have too many people fleeing from the police. That's extremely dangerous. And so we're putting an emphasis on that category of cases.
Explain that, putting an emphasis on that category. I think you're talking about high-speed chases that, yeah.
Yeah, we are, because, you know, unfortunately, there's roads here in Kenosha where, you know, people are worried that there's going to be a high-speed chase. You know, people may be heading for the border and things like that. And our police, you know, doing their jobs and trying to pull people over. And, you know, a lot of times it could be apprehending someone on a warrant, or, you know, there's things in the car that shouldn't be in the car. And that presents a danger to the public.
Right.
So within our office, you know, we are emphasizing with our prosecutors, hey, these are serious and dangerous cases. You know, when you go to bond court, for example, there's a really good argument for a higher cash bond on these cases, because this person has already shown they're going to flee. And, you know, bond is about someone appearing in court. Well, you have really good evidence that this person might want to run to get out of trouble. Or in terms of outcomes on the case, you know, you want the outcome on these cases to reflect the danger to the community that they present. So, you know, these are the kind of cases where a person might get a prison sentence, even if they don't have an extreme prior record. So their prior record doesn't necessarily scream prison, but this conduct is serious. And fortunately, the legislature has also responded, because it isn't just a Kenosha problem. And this past spring, the penalty was increased. So it went from a Class I felony to a Class H felony, so a slightly higher felony with more time available to a judge because of the danger that it presents.
So that's probably the one way you and judges can work together to ensure that you're sending a message. But is it effective? Are the right people saying, oh, maybe I shouldn't be fleeing the police? Is that really realistic? Is that going to help?
Well, I do think there's a certain sense that people get. For example, you know, I think people, I hope, have an understanding of, hey, you know, don't cross the border into Wisconsin and cause trouble. And so I think that message can be sent also with fleeings. You know, if someone you know did that in Wisconsin and they didn't get out of jail because they got a high bond, well, that is a real message. And, you know, certainly if there's the ultimate punishment of going to prison, then, you know, to me, that is a real message. And obviously for that one individual, it does certainly deter them. And I do think there's, you know, there is a sense of general deterrence when people understand that, you know, the police in Wisconsin, they will try to pull you over and they won't stop the pursuit. And, you know, the prosecutors in Wisconsin, they are going to ask for a higher bond on these cases. And then ultimately, you know, you're facing prison in Wisconsin for this type of behavior. So I do think there's real deterrence there.
Excellent point. Are there other crimes that you see that are getting similar attention? Because you're right, that one is, I mean, you're getting so tired of reading stories about high-speed chases resulting in death, sometimes of an innocent person.
Exactly. You know, that's exactly what we're worried about.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think the police are also doing a really good job of emphasizing internet crimes, especially internet crimes against children. So the sheriff's department, the police department, our other departments like Pleasant Prairie and Twin Lakes, they are devoting resources to investigating these type of crimes. So that's possession of child sexual abuse material, sometimes known as child porn. And then also just any sort of person who's trying to connect with a minor for illegal purposes online. I think the police have really stepped up their game in terms of investigating these type of crimes, and we're seeing it in getting more of those cases and getting charges for those cases, you know, which is great because these are serious and dangerous behaviors that simply didn't exist before the internet, this type of crime. And so we all have to adjust to, you know, the changes in technology.
I am finding it interesting because it's just something I really haven't given much thought to yet. It should be obvious, the relationship between police, prosecutor, and judge. That how do you sit down and discuss these kind of issues and say, you know, this is something we really have to look at. What are your suggestions? I mean, do you have formal meetings or is it something that's done more on an informal basis?
Yeah, it's both. So another thing I really value about our Kenosha community and Kenosha legal system is how well we work together. And that includes the head of the public defender's office here in Kenosha. There are judges meetings and, you know, you have representatives from the clerk of courts, obviously from the judges, from the public defender's office, from the DA's office, because we all do want a good functioning system. So it doesn't matter that we might be adversaries in court or that the judge needs to be a neutral in the courtroom. We do want to work together to solve problems. And, you know, we discuss things like there's a shortage of defense attorneys. How do we address that? How do we get cases through the system faster if there's, you know, a problem getting defense attorneys appointed? You know, just all the sorts of details that you have in a criminal justice system, things like sharing discovery and, you know, our law enforcement changing from having actual physical things in evidence, things like, you know, thumb drives or disks or something like that. Now it's shared through a link. Okay, well, that's actually a big change. And you have to have a system that addresses that change. And so I think we do an excellent job working together to have a system like that.
In these last couple of moments, I do need to once again mention that we've been talking with Carly McNeil, who is the Democratic candidate for a district attorney in Kenosha County. We had invited her, who will be her opponent in the general election on November 5th, Xavier Solis. And I do want to mention that we had invited him to join us. He said, thank you. He appreciated the invitation. However, respectfully, I don't participate in state-sponsored media forums that are meant to sway the public's vote. And again, because I'm not necessarily the most comfortable person with just interviewing one candidate, I do want to make sure our listeners are aware that we did reach out. In these last couple of moments, as you're preparing for the November 5th election, that takes a lot of time. You've got a very busy job. How are you going to be managing all of that over the next several months?
Well, I am used to the situation where you're never done with your work. So this is just a new variation upon that. And, you know, like I do wish that my opponent were here today to explain, you know, what he thought and what if there's any substance behind what he's saying, because, you know, there's anyone can say certain things. Anyone can say, you know, here's how I'm going to be tough on crime. Here's how I'm going to be speaking for victims. But how have you done it? And so for me, you know, it's really important that I continue to do it, continue to do the work, even as I'm running for district attorney, because, you know, that's the best reason for people to vote for me, because I am the person who does the work, and I'm going to continue to do it even while I'm running for election. You know, I have trials coming up. I hopefully will have a trial between now and the election, because that's, you know, that's what I love, and that's what I want to do, and that's what I'm fighting for running for election here.
Thanks so much. We've been talking with Carly McNeil, who is the Democratic candidate for Kenosha District Attorney, and I'm Jane Herring for Community Matters.
You've been listening to Community Matters. All programs are archived at WGTD.org. Click shows. This is WGTD-HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva.
Here is a special notice from Harbor Park Jazz Rhythm and Blues. Because of the threat of inclement weather, today's festival has been moved indoors. It'll be held at UW Parkside in the Frank Petretti Fieldhouse. The schedule remains unchanged, with doors opening at noon. Tickets will be available at the door.